I guess because of her nagging, she said, he said, just leave you at home, woman. I ain't taking you with me. I'm tired of you. You've already caused me a problem. I had to go out and kill all them Philistine guys because of you. And you imagine what kind of, what might have went on there? You kind of got to read between the lines, but he went home without her, didn't he? Well, as any young man, a week or two or three or four, whatever it was later, he gets thinking about this beautiful woman he left over there behind. And he's thinking, you know, I mean, hey, I'm a dummy. You ought to be over there sleeping with her every night. You know, I shouldn't be over here and she over there. Isn't that what goes on in a young man's mind? Of course it is. He's married to her. And he says, so he took a young goat as a present to his wife. He intended to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let him in. Now, we got a problem here. I walk up to my father-in-law. He said, I'm sorry, you can't come in to my daughter. I said, she's my wife. But let's see what happened. But her father wouldn't let him in. I really thought you hated her. Her father explained, so I gave her in marriage to your best man. He gave away Samson's wife. That means we don't have to have divorce papers back over there in those days, did we? There's something wrong here with this whole picture. I mean, so her daddy gave her to his best man. He'd only been married to her a week. I mean, he was over there a week with her. And then after a week, he got upset with her and left her. And then so her daddy gave her away to her best man. But look, her sister is more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. Now, again, what are we going by? Beauty. I mean, look at her sister. Look at her. Look at her. She's far more beautiful than her. I mean, she's the one you should have. Yeah. Isn't that the way the world works? I mean, I see it. Women come to me I've had this happen so many times since I've become a pastor. Pastor, I'm going with a certain man, and I'm going to marry him. Would you marry us? I said, well, how long have you been going with him? Oh, 6 months or a year. I said, well, why don't you bring him to church? I've never seen him at church. Well, he don't believe like I do. I said, what do you mean, don't believe like you do? Is he a Christian? Well, I don't really know if he's a Christian or not, but he won't go to church. You wait a minute now, girl. You're telling me you're going to marry a man you don't even know if he's a Christian or he believes different than you do? He won't go to the same church you go to? When God clearly told you in his word not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Amen. You know, I mean, I've narrowed that down. If you're a Baptist and you're going to marry a Catholic, y'all are unequally yoked. Don't marry her. She may be a Christian, you may be a Christian, but you two are so far apart in what you believe, it's going to be like a devil's going to be in your house. Because if she's Catholic and you're Baptist, you go to the Catholic church once, you're going to say, oh, that ain't for me. She's going to go to the Baptist church once, she's going to say, that ain't for me. And so I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go over here. Now then, you're not being the man you're supposed to, and she's not submitting to her husband, so y'all got a devil in your house the first day. Isn't that something? And you wonder why your whole life goes terrible. Wonder why when you have children then, your children are going the wrong way and all the things happen. Because God says when there's disobedience in the home, there's every kind of witchcraft in your home. Isn't that something? But yet, she's a Catholic and he's a Baptist. Or I've seen it when she's a Baptist and he's a Pentecostal. And she goes to a Pentecostal church one time. And she's been in a Baptist church where we're all very reserved. You know, we don't hold our hands up. You know, we just stand and sing the hymns. You know, we look down. We don't do a lot of clapping or nothing. And she goes over to a Pentecostal church and they're swinging off the chandeliers. And she says, who are these crazy people? I ain't never coming back over here to church. I mean, have we seen those kind of things happen? Sure. And then, you know, we don't understand, you know, that, hey, if you're going to really make it work right, if you're going to be a Pentecostal, try to find you a Pentecostal girl. You know, that's the best way. If you're going to be a Baptist, try to find you a Baptist girl. You know, I mean, try to get one. And of course, instead of just trying, how's the best way to get the perfect one? Hey, somebody got the right answer back there. Ask God. How many young men do you know get on their face and pray and ask God to send them the right mate? That's right, brother. I'll guarantee very few. And so, guess what we get? We get the wrong one. Because when you pick, you get the wrong one. Only when God sends you the right one do you get the right one. And so few people today, you know, especially when they're young, and never ask God, Lord, if you want me to be married. In fact, we had a great testimony while we were down there. There was a young man. He had been in the Marine Corps for 27 years, and he had never been married. And this young woman, when he got out of the Marine Corps, she was 41 or 42 years old. She had never been married. And they obviously prayed. They were good Christian people. They prayed, and God brought them two together, and neither one of them had ever been married. And since he had been in the Marine Corps 27 years, he was very well settled, you know, as far as doing his own laundry and his own ironing and all those kind of things, because he'd been a Marine for 27 years. And so they had, and she was a very good Christian woman, so they really had no problem whatsoever when they come together at, she was 41, and I forget now what he said he was, about 50 or whatever, but whenever he and her come together, then neither one of them had never been married, and they had prayed and asked God, and they were both good Pentecostal Christians. Guess what? Their marriage has been absolutely wonderful. They're just wonderfully in love with each other. You can just see it. You know, they love each other. And I say that's the best way to do it. You know, if you're going to start out, you know, I mean, when young girls come to me and say, well, I'm fixed to marry this boy, but he's been married twice, he's already got three kids, I say, throw him away. Throw him away. I said, you know, if you're 19 years old, he's already been married three times, he's got three kids, throw him away. I said, pray and ask God, that's not the one for you. God wants a young girl and a young boy to start out together, clean slates. Now then, if you've been married two or three times, he's been married two or three times, and y'all are coming together and you're older, that's okay. That's not a problem with me, as long as both of you are Christians. You know, so that's the whole thing. But, you know, like I tell everybody, when you come together to get married, this is not a trial run. You know, this is a one-time deal. And when you make that decision, you want to make sure you know that it's God and that you're walking obedient to His Word and you're getting who you think you're getting in marriage. Don't rush into anything, especially if you get older. You know, I mean, the only time you can rush into something is when it happens like it did with me and Cheryl. You know, when God tells you. You know, I had made a statement, you know, to all kinds of people. I will never marry again under no conditions unless God tells me the woman's name. Never. I ain't never going to marry. My own son came to me after Mom had been gone a couple of years, said, Daddy, you're still young. Are you going to get married again? I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He said, under no conditions? I said, well, son, when you serve God, you can't say no conditions, because if God were to tell me to marry a woman, then I'd have to be obedient to Him. You know, I have to. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, Cheryl had made the statement to God, God, I'm not dating anymore. I'm giving up on men. She said, made a statement, something like, there's not a good man left in the country. Now, then you can make that statement when the men you've dated, they're all lousy, rotten guys. You know what I mean? So she just said, God, I ain't dating no more. I ain't going to date. If you got one for me out there, she said, Lord, I'd like a really real man of God. Somebody really loves you, and she didn't dream he's going to bring her a preacher. But anyway, she wanted a man of God. And she said, I want one that'll love me and take care of me. I don't want one I got to take care of. You know, yeah, she's already been there and done that. You know, she didn't want one she had to take care of. She wanted one that would take care of her. And, of course, as a rule, she thought he'd have to be 5 or 10 years younger than her to be able to do that. You know, she didn't realize he could be 10 years older than her and still be young. You know, so she hadn't realized that, but now she knows that. She knows that I'm the youngest old man she ever seen. This girl has trouble keeping up with this young man. You know, so somebody asked me a lot of times, well, why'd God give you a woman 9 years younger than you? I said, if He'd give me one my age, she probably wouldn't be able to stay up like I do and go to the places I do and do all the things I do. So He had to send me a young one, a vibrant one, you know, that can be my equal. Does God know what He's doing? Yes, He does. He knows exactly what He's doing. So when he told Cheryl in that dream that night that she was going to marry me, she woke up rebuking the devil. She just couldn't believe that was God, you know. But the next morning when I woke up and God told me, he said, Cheryl, he spoke to me, told me, literally said, Cheryl's going to be your wife. And I asked her that night at Bible study, a woman I'd never held her hand to be my wife, and she accepted. Now, that's the way everybody does it, right? Not Harley, huh? And 40 days later, we got married. That'll be 7 years ago in June. You know, so we will have been married 7 years in June. So, and it's been an awesome 7 years. You know, we've had lots of fun together. We've gone lots of places together. We've traveled all over the world together. We've preached the Word of God together. And we've seen many miracles of healing and deliverance together. And I love that. But God had this plan. You know, I mean, I just think about the plan he had for she and I. I think about Samson and how this plan God had for Samson. Now let's go on a little bit further here and see what's going to happen. It says, "For I gave her in marriage to your best man, but look, her sister is more beautiful than she is. Why don't you marry her instead?" Well, let's see what Samson thought about that. Next verse. Samson said, "This time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines." Does that sound like he's a happy camper? No, it doesn't sound like he's a happy camper. This is a girl he married, and that's the one he wanted to come over and see, right? He didn't want her to be sleeping with his best man. He was not too happy about this. Then he went out and caught, I've often wondered how he caught 300 foxes. I'm telling that guy, when the Holy Ghost comes upon him, he must have been a runner. You know, I mean, in my entire life, I have never, and I was raised up on a farm in the country, and I've seen a lot of red foxes, but I have never seen 300 total red foxes in my entire life. Maybe 20 or 30, but not 300. But Samson goes out somehow and catches 300 foxes, and then he ties their tails together in pairs. Ties them together. And then he fastens a torch to each pair of tails. Puts a little rope on there, ties them together, puts a torch out there, and then he lights it. And let's see what happens in the next verse. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the grain still in the piles and all that had been bundled. He also destroyed their grapevines and their olive trees.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Jawbone Hill, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.